and welcome to the M2 Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Antony. My co-host right here is Kyle Heath. This is the show where we cover basically all gaming industry related news of the last week. And what's pretty cool about this episode, at the end, we're going to do a tier list of what's the official tier list, Kyle? That's called
video game series.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a change of pace that we get to just rant and talk gaming in general. But we do have some news for you this week. But I guess before we get into that, Kyle, what have you been up to, man? Have you played any games? Have you been too busy?
Yeah, like, no.
What's going on with you?
No, I've played some games. Got some weekly Smite in, I will say, this session this week. Fair for nice. Smite. I got kind of pwned on, dude. It was not fun. I was getting destroyed, no. So I don't know. I don't know how much longer it's going to stay in the weekly rotation. Because now it's just like
getting frustrating. Like, dumpstered, it just ruins the fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I played a little bit of that. It was okay. Kind of sucked, but it's just because I suck, you know? So people just, I don't know, dude. It's crazy. Anyway, did some of that. So I finished up moving out with my roommate over the past weekend. So we were kind of, there wasn't actually too much of the game left. So doing that. Beat that game. It was, again, fun little party game. Highly recommend to people if they have, you know, multiple people trying to play a game. It's fun. But yeah, other than that, The other kind of new game I checked out, I had to check it out. It came to Game Pass. It was ready to play. Little Kitty Big City. Had to try it, dude.
How was it?
I played about an hour of it. It was fun. You know, it's a little, it was overall just, you know, kind of a, I feel like, and I don't know, maybe I was very judgmental of the game, but I feel like after an hour, I don't know how much more like the game was going to go in terms of setting and everything. So I just kind of stepped away after about an hour. I was like, well, come back to it maybe sometime soon. But it was still fun to, you know, like, you know, you still like can run around and stuff. And when you run in the game, it's called the zoomies. So it's like your cat has like the zoomies and he's running around the city. And
that's awesome, dude.
You're seeing other animals. And it's honestly very polished, though. Didn't run into any bugs or anything. It's very, very well done in that department. So, yeah, it seems very well put together. But, yeah, so I'll probably get back into that at some point. But it was kind of a fun little hour just to try something new. So definitely want to jump back into it. There's an article that we're actually not covering today. I guess Little Kitty Big City had sold like 100,000 units or something like that. So doing very well, not just in Game Pass, but, you know, outside of it. So seems like a successful launch for the most part. But yeah, so played some of that. I don't know. I think gaming-wise, that was about it, you know? Just watch the sports, dude. Canes in seven, Mike, as we say around these parts. You know, Canes are coming back, baby. So.
Canes in seven. That's why I'm wearing the hat.
Nope.
Yeah, it's been pain, dude, for the Canes, I think. Yeah. After game three, I think I even told you, like, right before game four started, I was like, Canes in seven. Like, I'm trying to manifest it. I don't think it's going to happen in realist, like, if I'm being real. Yeah. But if I could just manifest it, you know, it'd be so awesome.
Yeah, it's a tough stroll, but man, we're hanging in there, so we'll see how it ends, But yeah, okay. That's about it for me, though, Mike. Not too much else. What about you? You play anything this week? Did you finally get to play something this week?
No, unfortunately. Been watching a whole bunch of sports. But hey, I've been catching up a lot on like the IRL stuff that I had to take care of. And I've been having this long running list, and I just checked off one of the last things I had to do.
Nice, so, dude.
Things are looking way better.
Awesome.
Work, I'm like crushing it, about to be done, or actually not be done, I'm about to be ahead at work, and when that happens, bro, I'm about to game so much. It's looking pretty good,
dude. Oh
yeah, I'm excited
I really for you, am dude. Need some games. Yeah, need some games, Mike.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, just haven't had a chance to really watch any games. I've actually, like, the most recent thing that I've been getting into is watching Kitchen Nightmares and Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, dude. I was on the Kitchen Nightmares streak for a while, dude.
Oh, man, I love it. That's my entire YouTube feed on my personal account. Like, I open it up, I'll listen to, like, the finance stuff that I'm interested in, like, learning about economy, real estate, all this other types of stuff. And then the next thing that ends up happening is they let me know, like, the next full episode of Kitchen Nightmares. And I can't not watch it, you know? It's like, it's awesome.
It's so good, yeah. I swear, man, it's the perfect just, like, veg out and just watch Gordon yell at someone. Dude. It's the perfect content. Oh, man.
Well, I've watched so many now that he gets such a bad rap for being, like, such a jerk. and getting on people's case.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to think about it, like, I really understand why he gets so frustrated.
Yeah.
You could kill somebody, like he says.
Yeah.
And he just, that's like the only time he actually loses it, when people don't seem to care. And when people are doing hazardous cooking in a way that could, like, get you killed.
Yeah.
So that's when he loses his mind and goes off on people.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's tough love, man. I think with every situation, he just wants to make it better. And so the second he feels like he cares more about it than the owners do, or like people that he's trying to help, that's when he loses it. Yeah. But it's all tough love, you know?
Yeah.
People react to it differently. But I think overall, he's just helping people, right? So,
yeah.
It's a good show.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Well, that's basically all I've been doing, man. Unfortunately, I haven't really been gaming. I do have my whole setup here for Halo 2 underneath my desk, and like this whole room has been kind of a mess.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get things organized, but after this week, man, I'm gonna be grinding.
That's what I say, dude. You haven't
played
been
all
on,
the games.
You been on Halo 2, man. Oh, that's how you know it's a.
And I haven't been on anything, it's a rough season, bro. It's sad. It's anything, really sad. Dude. But I mean, comes and goes, you know. Comes and goes.
Yeah, he'll get back on us soon enough, you know.
Yes, sir.
Soon enough.
But yeah, let's. Why don't we go ahead and get into what's been happening in the world of Fortnite? One of the games that I actually need to start playing. Fortnite Rocket League Racing, a buttload of fun, and that's one of the things I think I'm going to get back on.
Yeah, dude. Talk to me. Starting off the news this week from Games Radar, Austin Wood published an article titled "A Fortnite Shop Updated." As Epic gets fined over microtransactions once again, this time for $1.2 million amid claims children's vulnerabilities were exploited. The Dutch were not happy, Mike. Oh, not happy. So, for a brief moment, I thought it was December 2022 again, because Fortnite maker Epic has been fined for microtransaction mechanisms accused of exploiting children. But instead of the U.S. Federal Trade Commission stinging the company for a net $520 million penalty, this time, the Dutch Authority of Consumers and Markets has fined Epic for roughly $1.2 million over unfair commercial practices aimed at children in Fortnite. The AMC, Mike, he went dark on me, dude. What happened?
My bad.
Look over, just like a black spot. Anyway, as we were saying, the AMC flagged the news earlier today, and Epic has put out its own statement, noting some changes, but also disputing the decision. Last month, Epic announced the cosmetic colors and tiers would be removed, and beginning in late May, Fortnite item shop timers would instead display the player's local time when the item shop will refresh and items may leave the shop, and the date that an item will rotate out of the shop wouldn't be added to the item description. That's interesting. I never noticed that. I never put that, right? Like, it was always just kind of assumed, because I know, like, it was on a 24-hour cycle for a while, so, like, just every day there'd be something new. Some would stay for a week, you know. I guess it just depends, but I guess they never explicitly said, especially date time wise, right? It's just like, here's an hour, and that's about it. So it now appears this case partly prompted these shop updates. Today, the ACM said Epic has informed ACM of its plans to implement several changes to Fortnite's item shop in the violation. Pointing to the same changes and agreeing that they would be enough to meet its standards. Additionally, Epic said today, quote, "While our appeal is pending, players in the Netherlands that are under the age of 18 will not be able to see or purchase items that are in the shop for less than 48 hours beginning on May 24th, 2024. The ACM argues that, quote, companies need to do business with the utmost care, particularly when offering products to children. However, it found that children playing Fortnite could instead experience pressure in several ways to make purchases, for example, by using ads, which directly extort children to make purchases, and by using misleading countdown timers for items on offer. Through various design choices for its offerings in the item shop, Epic exploited the vulnerabilities of children," release reads. "This is in violation of the requirements of professional diligence." ACM singles out phrases like "get it now" and "buy now" as ads that directly extort children to make purchases, and this got Epic a €562 fine. €562,000 fine.
Thousand, yeah.
Need the thousand there. €562,000. So, pretty big fine, but... Separately, in an interesting case of live service standard, FOMO being interpreted as an outside party, points out that the previous global item shop countdown timer which could cover items that were still available even after the timer had reached zero. This earned Epic another 562k euro fine.
So over a mil.
Yeah. Timers create a sense of scarcity, the AMC says. Children were thus put under pressure to make purchase decisions quickly, plus they were under the impression that they would otherwise miss out on the items on offer. The ACM gave Epic until June 10th to act on a binding instruction to, in so many words, clean up the item shop. Epic objected to the decision, arguing the report showed significant factual errors about how Fortnite and the item shop operate, and that the mandated changes would result in a poor experience for players. It also points to Fortnite's restricted cabined account system aimed at users under 16 and parental controls such as purchase pin, which demonstrably weren't enough to satisfy the Dutch authority on their own. Fortnite creator knows exactly how he would make the Fortnite movie, but says he can't see it happening anytime soon. Fortnite movie might see it one day, dude. It's a bunch of Jonesies running around. Think about it.
There's a lot of video game adaptations going along for movies.
Yeah.
But in terms of this, man, this reminds me of the story with the parents who found out that their kid was doing like $4,000 or $5,000 in purchases with their credit card. Oh, yeah. And their kid was like 13 years old or something like that.
Yeah.
And they started blaming the video games. It's like, dude, what are you talking about? You can do parental controls to prevent purchases like this.
Yeah.
I think one of two things, right? The first one is children shouldn't be allowed to purchase anything without the consent of parents.
Yep.
Honestly, that's how it should
be. Full stop.
Full stop. I mean, yeah, when you're 16 to like 18, you might have your own job. Some like 15-year-olds, maybe even 14. Yeah, but like, maybe. They have their own job, all this kind of stuff. But man, I don't know about all this, you know. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's just wild. 1.2 million.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah, but I do like the fact that they're getting rid of these get it now, buy now scarcity ads.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they necessarily directly exhort children to make purchases. I think that's just people in general.
Yeah. I don't, it's like adults could be affected by that too, you know?
Dude, they have like get it now for gambling ads or like buy now for vehicles and cars. It's like, that's not for children. That's just for anybody that's got money.
You ever been on Amazon? Buy now. You can add to cart. You can buy 100%. Now.
Yeah.
That's
what it's all about, man. So
yeah,
it's kind of silly, but it's also, I'm not entirely against it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not against it either, but I do think it's, you know, I can see where they're coming from though, with the whole buy now or get now, you know, like kind of that, you know, very much like do it right now kind of thing, because, you know, it can certainly have those kind of the tendency and maybe the connotation to kind of like lure people in who would otherwise maybe think twice about getting something. But you know, it's also, I guess, by how you say it. I mean, you know, if there's like a line or like an item or something, and it just says like buy or buy now or something like that, and it's not like big bold letters with a color and exclamation point, like, you know, moving and stuff like that. I think that's fine. But yeah, you know, I mean, there could be certain ways, and you know, and like a lot of this has to be done on purpose too, trying to get people to, you know, second guess whether or not, you know, they shouldn't spend the money. It's like, oh, okay, well, like, what are some little things we can do? I think there's definitely some marketing behind that. Try and push for that too. So yeah, I mean,
100%.
You know, I'll be curious. I'd be really curious to see what the before and after would be of this, between like if Fortnite made an update on this and like what it was before versus now, to see if it's anything significant. See if it's anything worth finding 1.2 million euro, dude. It's not the same as dollars, Mike. It's not the same.
No. No, that's fair.
But yeah.
Jeez, man.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, this is coming after, I mean, the FTC, you know, just like annihilated them. What was it, a year or two ago? So crazy. Crazy stuff.
Well, what do you say we switch gears and go over to another IP that I absolutely love and an entire topic of like discussion? Not topic of discussion, but what's it called? Civilization, period of time or an era, right? So this is one of the ones that you found, Kyle, and I actually didn't see it in our newsfeed, but I know you're pretty interested in this topic too. So this has come from The Verge, Ash Parrish. It is it's about Assassin's Creed Shadows. So the first Assassin's Creed Shadows trailer shows off a dual samurai ninja action. Known initially as Assassin's Creed Red, this next entry in Ubisoft's Assassin's franchise features the series' first trip to feudal Japan. It launches in November. Did we hear about any of this before? I don't think we did we?
I don't know. There's been leaks and rumors recently of the upcoming Assassin's Creed. And so I think there were some rumblings that it was going to be in Japan. And I want to say, you know, now that I think about it, we might have. Because I think whenever they talked about Assassin's Creed last, there was like hints at it. Like it was going to be in feudal Japan. But we didn't know like the context of it. So
they said it was like in the works. Right. But I will say, man, Assassin's Creed games are pretty good.
Yeah.
And feudal Japan is a topic that I absolutely love. Yeah. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So combining those two things could be really good.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that's been interesting about Ubisoft is they've been very, very like open to the public about what their plan is with Assassin's Creed kind of going forward with this. And then kind of the next game, and then Hexay, I think, is one of them where they're trying to make like one giant sort of game where you can just log onto a launcher and pick what you want to play kind of thing. Because I think they're trying to do a multiplayer thing. They're trying to do the single player thing. And then there's like an even bigger game they're doing after this. It's, I don't know. It's wild.
Maybe Ubisoft is on the come up. After all the stuff that we've been talking and how scared we've been and nervous, maybe they're going to pop off with Outlaws and then follow it with Assassin's Creed and be even better.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, let's get into this. So the article starts off with, the next entry in the Assassin's Creed franchise is almost here. Ubisoft debuted the first trailer for Assassin's Creed Shadows, which launches later this year. The trailer is decently meaty for a world's premiere, taking its time to introduce the game to protagonists. One is the samurai Yasuki, I think? Yasuki?
Yeah, I think it's Yasuke? Yasuki? Yeah.
Yasuke? Possibly.
It's a Japanese.
African? Yeah, facts. An African man who became a retainer in service to Japanese warlord Oda Nobunaga? Oh, geez. You gave me the tough one. I see why you did this. The protagonist is Naoi? Naoi?
Yeah, Naoi, yeah. Oh, man, I'm sorry, buddy.
A shinobi. you're killing me, brother. A shinobi character whose opposition to Nobunaga's war initially pits her against Yasuki. It was rumored that Shadows would feature two main characters, similar to Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and before the official trailer reveal. Key art from the game leaked showing off the samurai, shinobi, and protagonist. Since 2022, Assassin's Creed Shadows was known by its codename Assassin's Creed Red. I think that's why it didn't really ring a bell. Yeah, so earlier this week, Ubisoft announced the formal name change in addition to the forthcoming trailer. Red or Shadows was initially revealed as part of Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed roadmap, which also featured other in-development titles in the franchise, including Assassin's Creed Jade, which we do remember, and codename Hex. So while codename Hex remains mostly a mystery, Assassin's Creed Jade was formally announced at Gamescom last year. It's a mobile game co-developed by Tencent Games' subsidiary Level Infinite, and complete its first closed beta last August. However, it may be a while before Jade releases. Excuse me. It's been reportedly delayed due to publisher Tencent shifting development focus from licensed Western IPs to its own games. Ubisoft didn't show off any of Yasuki's or Naoi's gameplay, but we'll be able to see ourselves soon when Assassin's Creed Shadow launches on Xbox, PlayStation, PC, Mac on November 15th. Fairly
November 15th,
cool.
Dude.
The gameplay looks pretty sick.
Yeah. I think the overall story looks sick. I will say, pretty sure there's no gameplay in this. I think it's all CG.
It is 100%,
But yeah. It still looks good for like just kind of a, you know, animated thing, right? In CG. It's interesting. Especially the last few Assassin's Creed games I just haven't played. I tried to play Origins like sometime last year, I think. I think I played a few hours and I just like couldn't get into it. But I don't know, maybe I just wasn't in the right mindset or just wasn't feeling it overall. But Because overall, I mean, those games have still done well, at least through, you know, reviews and ratings and all that. And even like, even Valhalla was, you know, even though it's 60 plus hours long for just the main story, like
yeah,
people still seem to enjoy it.
Insane.
I mean, I didn't review as well as some of the past titles. I feel like part of that was just due to the fact that it was so long, and I had heard people talking about how it was a very big open world, and it just wasn't really sure what it was kind of thing, and I don't know if the gameplay loop was all that good from, you know, things I'd heard. So it's an interesting title, but I think too, like with Mirage that came out recently, that was back down to kind of the typical, you know, earlier Assassin's Creed game lengths of like 15, 20 hours. And so it's like kind of went back. But even then it was kind of average from what I'd heard. It wasn't, you know, anything like, you know, amazing by any means. But I think going to like Japan and seeing, you know, the fuse, like, you know, feudal Japan and seeing this original time, I think it's certainly an interesting setting, and it's something that you haven't seen too much of outside of, you know, like Sekire, I think is what that game was, where, you know, Shadows Die Twice. Yeah. There's that. There's a couple others we've seen recently, that are like on the way. So the setting's awesome. And I think too, it's interesting to see the two protagonists thing, because at least from the trailer, the way it sets it up, it's like, Yusuke or whatever's the male, he seems to be the more like brute force, like kind of just in your face sort of combat style. While Neo, and I'll just say Neo, I don't know if that's right. I need to look that up after this. But yeah, like she's like the shinobi kind of ninja, sneaky, like how we think Assassin's Creed is whenever you hear about the stuff. So I think it could be really cool to play off those dynamics and have kind of alternating points. Or there's like levels where I'm sure you'll play and you'll probably maybe swap between each character. I think that could be fascinating. So yeah, I mean, I think overall I like the setting. I definitely want to see gameplay before I know whether or not it'd be something I'd be interested in. And even then, I want to see gameplay, because I'm not going to say I just went flat out not buy it, but it's one of those things. If I see gameplay, it looks promising, looks interesting, I consider it.
I'm on the same like wavelength as you are. I love cinematics as much as the next yeah. person, but the problem is sometimes the cinematics never match up
exactly
with the quality of the actual game, and it's that happens from time to time. It's not good.
Yeah, it's weird too, Mike, because you know what, you could pre-order this today. Would we recommend pre-ordering it though?
I wouldn't. Don't pre-order anything, man.
Yeah,
please.
I know, exactly.
Don't,
I mean, just don't do it. There is also, of course, Mike, as you know, if you go to the website and you see kind of Assassin's Creed Shadows, you could pre-order it, but also you gotta, of course, there's versions, Mike. There's not just the base version, right? So you can go there.
Right.
There's different cosmetics. Always. I think at like 100, 110 bucks, you can get the different cosmetics. The best part, you get a 3-day early access. you can get that.
Do you even get the physical copy of the game, though? I don't think you do. Most of the time, they don't do that anymore.
Probably not, dude.
$110. Give me a statue or at least a sticker, man.
I don't think you're getting anything, unfortunately.
Oh, Christ.
Could be wrong. I don't know. There's like three different versions. Or, guess what, Mike? You could get another subscription service for $18 and then just play it 3 days early and get it that month, and there you go. So, I mean, there's a couple ways to play. But yeah, man, it's interesting, too. I mean, I feel like from a subscription standpoint, it's like, just thinking about how these models work, and it just makes you wonder, like, how much money the devs actually make. Like, from if, say, everyone was to do the subscription service as to opposing and paying $70 outright for the game, like, how much money are you going to lose there? Is kind of my thought process in that. Because I feel like you wouldn't make nearly as much if it was just, unless it was just like, here, just get the game. You can't get it through the sub or anything like that. It's weird, dude.
It's a good question.
Like, ever since we've been seeing more about the industry and, you know, been hearing more about like how games are more expensive to make, and it's like, it just, things are so pricey now. It's like, it makes you wonder if there's going to be a sort of like shift or collapse to a certain extent over some developers, because they just can't make as much money as they used to off these games with the way these, you know, subscriptions and everything are structured. It's a weird weird time. I feel like we're entering a weird time of games.
That's a fair assessment. I think we are entering a total weird time about like what's going to happen with the industry.
Yeah. Anyways, Mike, dude, you're pre-ordering this game, right?
Yeah, let me go ahead and do that right now. No shot.
Oh man,
I will be paying attention to it, though. If it's coming out in November, I want to see more gameplay.
Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully we get something in the
in a couple weeks.
June, maybe? Yeah, Summer Games Fest. That'd be nice. Weeks.
Cool.
It'd be very nice. But speaking of Ubisoft, you want to go and jump into the next article?
We sure
with
can.
Division Heartland?
I know we sure can.
Some people might not even remember
Division
that.
Heartland, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's coming from Dustin Bailey over at GamesRadar once again. He said, Ubisoft has canceled Division Heartland and redeployed resources to bigger opportunities, like its Call of Duty-style FPS, X-Defiant. You know, X-Defiant is still in development, Mike. It's supposed to come out in the last year. We're still cranking. We're still working on it, fixing these fundamental issues, you know? It's rough.
Yeah. Remember when I made that comment and rant about X-Defiant and that dude in the comments tried to say that I was an idiot?
Listen,
and, like, how it's going to come out for sure. It's going to be great. I'm like... That was last season in August when I made those comments. So it's like, I'm concerned, man.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Dude? Hello. I don't know. It was, of course, a significant material investment that we had put in the game. Division Heartlands. All right, let's get into it. Division Heartland, which was set to be a free-to-play take on the third-person shooter series, has been canceled. In its financial report today, Ubisoft said that, quote, in line with the increased selectivity of its investments, Ubisoft had decided to stop development on Division Heartland and has redeployed resources to bigger opportunities such as X-Defiant and Rainbow Six. X-Defiant is finally due to launch this month, and Rainbow Six Mobile is in development alongside the continued success of Rainbow Six Siege. Ubisoft also noted in today's report that it intends to return the true leadership in the open world genre alongside increased investment in games as a service. During a Q&A with investors, CFO Frederick, it almost looks like August, but Duget. I'm gonna say
it's
Frederick Duget or Duget. I'm gonna get fancy with it, Mike. You know, he asked how Heartland's cancellation squares with this strategy. A question he didn't really directly ask or directly address. As for The Division, Duget said, we have an ambitious roadmap that relies on investing in The Division 2, Division Resurgence, which will come as on mobile this year, and we have The Division 3 that is in development. Division 3 has not yet been formally unveiled, but it was announced in a shockingly casual way last year. I don't even remember that, I'm going to be honest. Like, it was so like under the radar, I don't even remember. Duget was also asked later how much Ubisoft had invested in Heartlands. Said, quote, we don't disclose detailed numbers on the budget, he said. It was, of course, a significant material investment and we had to put in the game. Ubisoft's big news today was, of course, the formal reveal of Assassin's Creed Shadows, which features dual protagonists, one in the first black samurai in Japanese history and the other of a shinobi. And if you're losing track, go to Games Radar, ladies and gentlemen. You can check out all the latest Ubisoft news. But
I wonder how many he actually has on this list. Now that I'm thinking about it,
yeah.
Here, let's go through them. The games that Ubisoft's about to launch, because this ties into canceling games and then redistributing the workforce to more popular titles.
Okay.
So you got Tom Clancy's The Division Resurgence. That's supposed to be early 2024, and it's a mobile game. You got Star Wars Outlaws, which we said we're kind of concerned about. Supposed to be at some point in 2024 on all platforms. Then you got Assassin's Creed Codename Red, which we found out is Assassin's Creed
Shadows,
which is now going to come out in November. Then Assassin's Creed Infinity, which is some point this year. We don't have a date. Assassin's Creed Codename Jade. Nobody has a clue, but it's a mobile game. Codename Hex. Assassin's Creed Codename Hex. Nobody has a clue. Beyond Good and Evil 2, nobody has a clue. Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time remake.
I think Beyond Good and Evil 2. Well, I mean, you can keep going. Just one second. I'm pretty sure Beyond Good and Evil 2. I'm trying to remember that. No, it was Perfect Dark. That's what I was thinking of. Perfect Dark was in like development hell, apparently. It's just not.
Oh, still
good.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, it's like just not. Yeah. The remake's just not looking good. But yeah, I was thinking, never mind. That was something else. Beyond Good and Evil 2, though, I don't think we've heard much about that. Like, it's been like eerily quiet.
It's been a long time.
We haven't.
Yeah.
Like, there was a real reveal trailer like years and years ago, like pre-pandemic, I'm pretty sure, but we haven't like.
Bro, oh my goodness.
That game.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. A few years ago, brother. First hinted at in 2008, Beyond Good and Evil 2 has been synonymous with development hell. It's been six years since Ubisoft officially announced it during E3 2017, and with just a few promo shots and a press releases to go on since then, it's anyone's guess whether we can expect news anytime soon. That means never coming out. Project U? What? Splinter Cell remake? I'm not even holding my breath. Tom Clancy's The Division Heartland. X Defiance on this list. I mean, at least that had a bit of a beta, and it was surprisingly considered a good one. And then Tom Clancy's The Division 3. So I'm not...
Oh, man.
Dude, this is why I keep saying that Ubisoft's in trouble, man. They got to be.
Yeah.
That's a lot of titles that I have no hope for.
Yeah. Yeah. And, there's a lot in there.
At least we got Skull and Bones.
Oh, yeah. Quadruple A game. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
really lived up to it, too, let me tell you. Dude. Oh, my gosh. Skull and Bones is prime, round of applause for at least releasing it. You know what I'm saying? We thought that never see the light of day. But, yeah, dude, there's a bunch of games that have just been, tossed around, nowhere near being finished, which is unfortunate. We have all this stuff, these Star Wars Outlaws, you mentioned that, it's there's that game, I don't know, it's kind of wild. I mean, I think what it makes, the only thing I'm curious about this, with kind of, Division Heartland is, there's been talks about it for a while, and it makes me wonder how much they actually invested in it, because if you have to cancel it, and I feel like there's probably been a decent amount that's already gone into it, investment wise. So it's just to cancel it seems it must be pretty bad, or must be in bad shape,
I mean, I don't think they use the word cancel, right? They just decided to stop development and switch their resources. That's what they're calling it. So maybe it's just going to be on the shelf along with the other 20 different titles for Ubisoft.
Yeah.
They're on the shelf and that have maybe one or two people working on it by themselves. Yeah. And then everybody else has switched over to, I guess, Outlaws, Rainbow Six, and X Defiant.
I guess so, dude. But this is the thing, man. It also worries me, too, because I feel like mobile games, I feel like they're starting to get to the length of AAA desktop titles in terms of development time. Because the Assassin's Creed game, Division stuff, it's these games have been in talks for a while, and it's geez, it takes forever. I'm pretty sure that I saw something, the Monopoly Go game, whatever, that was in development for years, and it's that's just a mobile cash grab, slot machine kind of thing. So it's it just makes you wonder how long these games actually take to make, dude. So, yeah, it's getting ridiculous, dude. Mobile budget's going crazy.
I don't even know what could be causing it to be that bad. Other than a management issue, because what else could it be? It's rough.
Yeah, it's, I feel for it's the devs. Yeah, it's overall just rough, and I feel for the devs too, dude. It's the good news is, they're getting shifted, right? So it's no one's at least as we know of right now, no one's out. So it's kind of just we'll just move them over to other projects.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so there's at least one silver lining. Yeah, man. And the fact that they weren't able to disclose that, it's no surprise because a lot of these people don't want to give away numbers, especially, to the broader kind of industry. And normally when game budgets are released, it's either an ex-employee or some informant that leaks it. So and everyone just knows that, this game made this amount of money kind of thing. Or this game took this amount of money to make. These budgets just get crazy, dude. And it's there's no... It's very easy for a game to, all of a sudden require a $400 million budget for 5-year dev cycle and 200 devs. It's
true.
Just paying for that alone is expensive. So, it's leaking over to mobile. I feel like, maybe not as long.
I think that's fair. Yeah. The other thing that could be going on is the fact that Ubisoft has had all these different games that are in development hell. Makes you wonder, is it a personnel issue? Is it a management leadership role issue? And when that does happen, how many people are sticking around and toughing it out? Sure. How many people are just I'm leaving? So I wonder if there's some of these titles that they're putting on the back burner, putting them on the shelf to come back later. Maybe the original teams have disintegrated.
Yeah.
People just leaving and finding something else worth their time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just when I thought I was hopeful about Assassin's Creed Shadows, and Ubisoft. We go to the next article. It's like, yeah, we're shifting teams. Canceling game.
Milking that Assassin's Creed, dude. So they're bringing money. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, dude, just, I don't know. Yeah, before we get off it, too, just like the whole Star Wars Outlaws thing and like how so many people were, so many dev teams and stuff like that are involved across like the world in Ubisoft's umbrella. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, Mike. Makes me nervous, you know? Makes you nervous, dude. It's kind of like, okay.
I work on projects with teams that are in Spain. I did it with Greece, Scotland. The language barrier is tough. The time difference is tough. Understanding and communicating effectively with people, very tough, man. Yeah. It's hard to come in on like an 8 o'clock when you have a time difference of 5, 6, 7 hours sometimes. And the team that's working on the same project as you is asking questions from you, but they can't like progress in their job without you answering. But by the time you get in, they're getting ready to get off work.
Yeah.
Because the work schedule and dynamics are so opposite. It's terrible. I can only imagine how bad that is with an industry where like you're constantly learning new code and learning new systems and languages. That's gotta be so difficult.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, I can't even imagine, like, especially probably, you know, language wise, like how much that can be. And yeah, you're saying, dude, not even just language wise, but just kind of getting things across to different studios. I feel like it's hard enough just going from another team in a studio, let alone another studio across the world, you know?
So I don't from my experience, it's tough. It's really tough because you have to, sometimes you have to explain things, not as like in a degrading way when I say this, but like a matter of fact, you have to explain it to them like they're children, because I can't speak their language. But they are smart enough to speak mine, but they might not be as intricate as what I'm trying to communicate. So I have to really spell things out and be over like explanatory, because if I don't, then things can get lost in translation literally. So it's tough. It's tough when that's going on. And I can't imagine what that's like for developing a video game. That's way more complicated than what I do.
Yeah, I know. Can't imagine either. But, you know, it's funny, Mike, because the next article we are covering is about a game that was made by one single person. So you can imagine how much easier that could be, but how much more time it could take if you're just a solo team.
I like these types of articles because it goes back to what gaming used to be back in the day, where it was just a handful of people, maybe like a group of five, less than 10, really, really small. If you want to call them studio, I would call them teams.
Yeah.
But like small teams putting games together and then the games just absolutely hit. And that is a beautiful thing to witness. This article comes from Games Radar. It is by Dustin Bailey. The title of the article is, in an era of 100 gigabyte games, aka all Call of Duty games, breakout Metroidvania hit Animal Well is only 34 megabytes. So small that its 4K PS5 background is likely larger than the game.
Dude, that's so crazy. It almost just doesn't sound real.
It's like, dude, I take a picture with my phone and it's more than 45. Like, what is that, 55?
Yeah, same, dude.
34 megabytes. 34 megabytes.
If I take a ProRes photo on this thing, it's over.
Oh, yeah. It's over. 100 plus megabytes. Easy.
Yep.
All right, so... Have you had the chance to play Animal Well? But it's highly rated.
I've seen some gameplay on it. It's very, I think it's like a platformer style game. I've heard like people have been exploding about this game and like raving over it, saying it's like really good. So
heck yeah,
I just want to try
it. I haven't actually seen it. Right? I mean, of course. So Animal Well is already the second best rated game of 2024. Second only to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That's nuts.
It's wild.
That's nuts. Wow. Okay. So, but where the middle entry in the remake trilogy is nearly 150 gigabytes in size, aka that's what they're saying, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is, Animal Wells packs all its goodness in a fraction of the space. My Animal Well install clocks in at just. Oh, geez, I'm reading this all wrong. So Dustin over here says his Animal Well install is about 33.3 megabytes, though the system requirements on Steam suggest you'll need 40 megabytes of space. Either way, this is a tiny game. Speaking to Stefan Totilos?
Totilos, maybe? That's what I'd say. You roll the L. The Tios.
I think it depends entirely whether or not you're Italian-Italian or if you're American-Italian.
That's okay.
We'll see. So, according to Tilo's GameFile newsletter, developer Billy Basso says, "I just tried to program it in a compact and straightforward way." He notes that the game size can mostly be attributed to the fact that the game uses a custom engine with no unnecessary features bundled in, and the use of a low-resolution pixel art assets. And that's what you can see in the screenshot if you're watching on video. So the game's fair bit bigger on consoles. I'm reading this all messed up. Let me zoom in. I'm getting old, brother. The game's a fair bit bigger on consoles, particularly PS5, where it takes up 101 megabytes. Basso attributes that to the 4K image that appears on the background of the console UI, where you can hover over the game icon. According to Basso, that background is likely larger than the game. What the hell? So, our Animal Well review, which is by Game Radar, calls it an endlessly inventive Metroidvania with unfathomable depth. And it's quickly becoming clear. It's quickly becoming clear that the game is much, much bigger than its tiny file size would suggest. The few days since launch have given many players enough time to reach the credits and find the normal collectibles you'd expect from a game of this genre, but it's quickly becoming clear that the most esoterically hidden secrets are going to take much longer and a whole lot of community collaboration to find. That's actually pretty cool. I like games that they have a bunch of Easter eggs or like hidden items and stuff like that you can find later in the game. Like the devs just kind of hide things here and there. I know old Halo games used to do that where you have to go collect all the oddballs and the skulls hidden on the map. Those were really cool. I like those types of games.
Yeah, that's true, man. I think it's interesting too. I mean, obviously when you make the game, you pretty much program everything about it. Yeah, there's no like bloatware. Yeah. There's no unnecessary code or anything. You can, as long as you're intentional, you can keep it slim. So makes sense as to why I got it that small. It's still insane though, dude. Like a game of that size, it's like you would think it'd only be like, you know, like a 30-minute title at best. It's like you wouldn't think it'd be a full game, you know.
I mean, dude, all the old games back in the day on like the original Nintendo or Super Nintendo and N64, all this kind of stuff, they're not that big. They're like maybe 100 megabytes at most. A lot of them are, like Sega was the same way. Yep. It only really started to get bigger and bigger when we got into the 3D like graphics and stuff. When that happens, you're getting hooked in size.
All of a sudden a few gigs and
yeah.
Get to late 360 Xbox One Air 100 gigabytes. You know, like Call of Duty's 250 with everything included.
It's wild. Yeah. Dude, his subtitle for this article is pretty unique. I like that. So the game Animal Well, as we just said, is 34 megabytes, and then it says that's just 37% of its Metacritic score. So that's pretty dope.
That's pretty sick, yeah. Pretty sick, dude. Yeah, dude. I've seen I've heard a lot of people praise this game. You know, a lot of outlets. Jason Schreier is one of the I saw his tweets about it. I have tweet notifications on for him just because he like breaks so much news. And but he was talking about this like when it released, they're just like, you should play this game. Like, I don't care what you're doing, play this game, kind of thing. And I saw a couple other people kind of give the same sentiment of like, just play the game, like just go and play it. And it's like one of those things, you know, everyone's digging it. And I think the most interesting thing about this game though, and the reason why it came up to my radar was, one of the reasons it came up to my radar was that the company behind it that published it is actually run by none other than the legendary YouTuber Video Game Donkey. So I didn't mention in the article, but yeah, it's
Big Mode,
yeah, but Donkey's his publishing kind of publishing companies, you know, released it, published it out. And so it's very good that, you know, Donkey, he got a slam dunk here, his first kind of thing. That's his so first cool, endeavor, man. There and then Billy over here just killing it, dude, making a Metroidvania, which is still, you know, still today is still a popular genre. So see.
Yeah, his wife and him launched in 2022, and their goal is to specialize in publishing indie games. And that's really nice because he always talks about how indie games are the only ones like branching out.
Yeah.
If you used to watch his videos, I think he kind of stepped back from making videos, compared to what he used to do, but they're always a hit. Would you like to hear the reception, all the different scores that they got?
Let's go.
I pulled it up on the wiki. So for the review scores for the publication, so we're talking Destructoid. I always mess that name up. Destructoid, Eurogamer, GameSpot, IGN, Nintendo Life, and PC Gamer. So everybody gave them a 10 out of 10 or a 5 out of 5, except for GameSpot, IGN, and PC Gamer.
Wow.
They gave them a 9 out of 10.
Mm.
That's wild.
Why not the extra point? What are we doing here? Huh? Why not the one point?
You never know, man. Appreciate it's all the about honesty, the reviewer's taste.
It's 1 point.
Yeah, what could have been better? That's what the thing is. It's just funny. Yeah. This is pretty cool. So on Metacritic, they got 91 out of 100 for PC. On Switch, they had 89 out of 100. And then on PS5, it was 85 out of 100. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe it's a little bit more convenient, more nice to play if you're using mouse keyboard on the PC or something. I don't know.
It's a good question.
But on OpenCritic, they have 100% recommended.
Oh,
on there.
Dang.
So
they gave the seal of approval, dude.
Oh, yeah. So they basically said, yep.
You should play.
Gotta play this game.
Must play. It's a must play right there.
Yeah, maybe this is gonna be the next game that we need to get on, man. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, I want to say, I think it was like $20 on Steam or something like that. It wasn't too expensive. It was pretty affordable.
I mean, what's $20 in 2024 nowadays?
For a good game?
It's like $5.
It's worth it, dude. Good game. It's worth it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think it'd be worth checking out at some point. I'm gonna have it. I have to add it to my list. My list.
Yeah, definitely. This is pretty cool, though. I really like this. I'm trying to see if Big Mode has done anything else. No, this is their first release title, Animal Well.
Debut, huh?
So, yeah, this is the debut title from an indie dev. Or indie game. Indie publisher? YouTube publisher? I don't know what you would call it.
They're about to explode. Yeah. It's climbing the ladder, dude. Got everyone praising it. Maybe open a studio, maybe do his own thing. I don't know. But he's sitting pretty.
No. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I like it. It's very interesting. And I think this could be the future of a lot of YouTubers getting their own studios, making their own games. I mean, think about it this way. 100 Thieves pivoted from being an organization to making games now.
Man, that's true.
That's
kind of
sick.
A shooter.
Yeah. Nate Shot, in a way, is 100 Thieves himself.
Yeah, so. It's kind of nuts, isn't it?
Pretty cool. Yeah.
It's crazy to think what the... history is going to be. You have all these devs getting shut down by these big corporations. See a lot more independent studios. See some 100%. People coming out. I won't be under an umbrella, you know? Just do my own thing. Why not? Sell some merch, get some funds.
That's a fact.
So be.
All right, so what do you say? Well, I guess that's really just the news for this week.
Yeah,
that's kind of
weird.
Now we're going to switch over. It was a pretty slow week, so we decided to do a bit of a tier list. If you're watching the video, we're going to have to do a really good job trying to explain to people that are only listening. But the way tier lists work, let's start at the basics, okay? Let me enlarge your screen. So we renamed our tier list. But
sure did.
We'll have a link in the description if you want to do it yourself. It is called the Video Game Series Tier List Community, okay? This is how we're going to do it. Top of the list is Legendary. Then we go to podcast approved. But go ahead. Why don't you describe Legendary first?
I was going to say, so Legendary, the way I was thinking to do it is like Legendary. We're going to put that as our S tier, but we can only have one thing there. This is like the defining, like you must play Legendary. Ooh. Like this is a podcast of what we think you should try, what we think you should play, no matter what you're into kind of thing. I'd say that's how I always do my tiers, Mike. I always keep that top tier is like
there's only one S tier.
And if we want to, we can do it kind of like this. We can rank everything below it, and then at the very end, we can select one from the podcast approved tier at number two and bring it up to the S tier at tier one, make it legendary.
I'm a little more
kind of easier to deal with, so we're not like just saying, okay, well, let's just do this one, but then if we want to change it later, we don't have to worry about that. We can just do everything below tier one, and the very end, we'll do legendary.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what we'll do. So the way this is rated is Legendary is your S tier being racing style tiers. You got S, A, B, C, D, and then F. I think you even have E in some classes, but S tier will be our number one overall game series that you need to have. We're talking, by the way, game series, we're talking like Mario Kart here, Lego, Gran Turismo, Need for Speed, Battlefield, Call of Duty, like series, kind of like an IP. That's the way we're going to do it. Then we're going to have podcast approved. Then we have sort of kind of podcast approved. Then we're going to have our don't waste your time. And then we finish with single A games. That's single like A games being the worst, legendary being the top.
Yeah, like single A games. So what do you say? Like, don't even try, you know? It's
gonna... 100%. What do you say? We just drop in, we go in order of the games that we see.
Let's do it, dude.
So, right. Starting it off.
Tier one, dude. Assassin's Creed, dude. Assassin's Creed, Mike. are we doing this? So, what are we thinking? This is the thing. I used to love Assassin's Creed, right? Like 1, 2, 3, yeah. Solid games. When I was younger, especially Assassin's Creed is like one of the first games I played on Xbox, and it was kind of there's definitely some fondness there for me of the series. Doing the first three, getting into Black Flag, it picked up a little bit. For me, this is like late high school. I'm getting into Black Flag, so it's kind of like, you know, it's jumping back into Assassin's Creed. I haven't really played it kind of in a few years at that point. But like the ship combat and everything was just so good. And so those early Assassin's Creeds I loved. More so in the last like 6, 7 years though, haven't really touched too many Assassin's Creeds. I've tried Origins, you know, like maybe a year ago, tried to get into it. It was okay. So like, I don't know. It's an interesting thing for me, Mike, but what do you think?
I can't in good like conscience put Black Flag or Assassin's Creed 2 and 3 in anything below podcast approved.
Yeah, that's just how I am. I agree. No, I mean, I agree.
Like, those games are so good that Assassin's Creed could launch about 3 trash games, which arguably kind of have. But the rest of the series is phenomenal. I can't say, like, you're not going to pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's one of the most, like, recognizable IPs of all time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It really is. In the modern era, by far.
Yeah. I totally agree. I would say, like, those first 4 Assassin's Creed games, it's enough for me to just put in podcast proof without, like, thinking about the rest. Yeah. And that being said, the rest of the games are still, like, you know, people still like them. Like, they're still, like, very, like, well-rated, and people enjoy them and spend a lot of time in the world, so... I think overall podcast approved. I like that. Starting off strong on the list.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Batman. The Batman series. So was it Arkham Asylum? Arkham City?
Yeah,
isn't there a third one?
Arkham Knight? I believe.
Arkham Knight, yeah. I think you're right.
I'm going to embarrass myself though, Mike. I've only seen like gameplay. I haven't actually played them. So this is something where it's not really, really have much of an opinion. Like I'm relying on you on this one because I don't know if I've actually like really played it much.
The story alone is podcast approved, man. Yeah. If you're a DC Universe kind of person, you like the DC comics, you watch all the movies, TV shows in particular, like the Batman Arkham games are really loyal to the comics.
Yeah.
And it's gotta be like that's what recommended for me, man. Even though like you just said you watch the YouTube series and like the gameplay and stuff. Are you not entertained out of your mind?
Oh no, I am, dude. It's look.
So imagine playing,
right, dude? Like, yeah, like, I mean, that's
crazy.
That's a good point, yeah, dude. I've seen stuff too where it's I don't know if it's the Riddler or someone else where he like glitches out the game and makes you think that your game crashed. It's like,
yes.
Are we podcast proving this, dude? that's no, what it seems like.
Let's be real here. A lot of these IPs are super well known, so I think there's going to be a lot of podcast approved.
Yeah, we'll
but we're going to have to take it to consider.
Yeah,
but there are some games here where I'm like, you kind of messed it up a lot.
Yeah,
like I'm not going to say you should watch this, but
true.
Yeah, or you should play this.
So yeah, dude. Should we move on? The Battlefield series, Mike. The Battlefield series again, dude. It's like every other franchise. It's like the first like few games were amazing, and then it's just kind of like it just fell off a cliff at the last couple releases. It's like it's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, Battlefield 42, Battlefield 3. I liked Battlefield 4. I feel like I'm one of the few people that like Battlefield 4. 2042 is now good, by the way.
Yeah, like they redeemed it.
It just
I guess,
took a while.
Extent, yeah.
took a while. I think you and I both kind of leaning towards that kind of podcast. That's,
yeah, exactly, man. That's kind of,
which
yeah,
is tough because, like, you know, that's going to upset some Battlefield fans because there's some diehards. Yeah. And I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people that would put it in Don't Waste Your Time too. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's, yeah, like, yeah, it's like,
oh, yeah, there's some people that are just like, it's a waste. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I the reason I would put it in kind of podcast, like, you know, that C tier is kind of just like, or, you know, the B C tier is like, and like the first games were awesome and I did play them and I enjoyed them. But it's like, I tried 2042 when it was like, and like the original kind of demo going to it was okay. But then, like, with the game launch, it was just so bad and broken, and it's just so unfortunate, mm-hmm. man. So I think, yeah, for me, it's like, if the Battlefield game is good, it's amazing. But, like, if it's not, it's just kind of, but the track record just makes me knock it down a couple tiers.
And the other thing is too, a lot of their games now depend entirely on multiplayer and the community there. And I got to be real, some of the community members in Battlefield are pretty tough to deal with. And
no kidding.
If you could deal with it, yeah, by all means, go get into it. You're going to be fine and have a good time. But you got to be willing to accept that. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying kind of. What's next on our list here? Call of Duty?
Call of Duty. Oh, man. Boy, do I have some nostalgia for this, Mike.
Dude,
I have some nostalgia for this.
It's one of those ones, man. To me, it's one of those ones that is like, they have so many games. But Call of Duty 2 and 3 were phenomenal. Oh, phenomenal games. Modern Warfare 2, the first one, was phenomenal.
Oh, man.
Are you still there? Oh, you're getting blurry on me.
Oh,
the storm hitting you?
Yeah. A little bit of rain coming through, you know, Mike. Trying to storm it out, dude. We're good. But yeah.
All right. What are you thinking?
Dude, I love the early Call of Duty games so much. Like, going in, like, obviously the newer ones, just not my thing. That being said, I played a lot of the Modern Warfare, like, zombies that came out this past one. So there's some redeemable qualities there for me. I mean, I'm willing to go podcast approved, but I think it's partially just because I have so many fond memories of this and just so much of that. And yeah, and there's a lot of, I grew up on Call of Duty essentially. So it's hard for me to, like, get away from that kind of.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'm on the same page as you are. The next one on the list is Counter-Strike. I gotta say, that's one of the games that you need to play. However, I don't think everybody should play it, if that makes sense.
That's fair. I can see that point. It's a very competitive game, right? So if you're not into competitive games, you're not gonna have fun. Yeah, it's a weird thing. I think, yeah, especially if we were recommending it to other people. It's not, I wouldn't say, like, it's a must play or, like, gotta check it out. But, like, it's good. If you're into competitive shooters, it's kind of podcast approved, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's a waste of time by any means if you try to play it.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a, I like kind of podcast approved. I like that.
Yeah. I think we're on board there. So what is this next one? It looks like it's Diablo. Is that...
I was thinking Diablo. That's what I was thinking.
That is Diablo. I don't know, man. I think we're kind of podcast approved because that game's not for everybody, although the story is phenomenal. I don't know. That's where I'm at. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to expose myself again, dude. Haven't played Diablo game, so I've just seen gameplay. Okay. It's kind of just like, I don't know. I lean on you on this one because I don't think it's a waste of time by any means, because a lot of people I know, like, enjoy it, and especially Diablo 4, right? People have enjoyed it. Some people, you know, have different opinions about, like, how long it takes and stuff like that. I don't know. I really don't know this one, Mike. What do you think? Do you think it's a waste of time? I guess is the ultimate question.
No, I don't think it's a waste of time. I think it's an old IP. It's been around for a long time. Diablo 4, I liked. I had fun with it. A lot of people like Diablo 3 still and still play it. It's a very popular game. Let's not make a mistake here. But what I say, it needs to be podcast approved, like, you have to go play it kind of attitude. No, I think it's more of kind of podcast approved. Like, if you're into the stories, you like playing those kind of top down sort of games, RPGs. Yeah, you probably want to check it out, but I'm not going to say it's a requirement. Like, you don't have to. So yeah. I think that's a kind of approved. I'm not going to put in the don't waste your time.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
it's not bad or anything.
No, I think it's just a decent video game series. Yeah. Next one here is Doom.
Doom, baby.
Now, I love shooters.
I did too, I love shooters. I think I know where this is going, dude.
You want to put it in podcast approved, right?
I sure do, dude. It's yeah. It's a solid, man. Solid shooter. Yeah, it's
Doom Eternal had me in a different world, bro.
Yeah, dude.
I love that game.
Especially the recent Doom entries have just been so good, you know.
Dude. Reboot and the originals basically created an entire genre. Like, there's no way that ain't kind of podcast approved. That's definite.
Oh yeah.
Podcast approved.
I'm recommending everyone check it out.
Heck yeah. So how about the FIFA?
I so badly just want to put it here, dude. I'm not gonna lie.
Single A games or don't waste your time.
Don't waste your time. I don't know. FIFA 13, that was peak, dude. I loved FIFA 13, but that's because I was super into KSI at the time and a lot of those FIFA YouTubers, right?
Yeah. I mean, so like that was 11 years ago.
Yeah, I had a fondness for that game, but yeah, it was 11 years ago, right? So it's kind of like it was so long ago, and like since then, I just haven't touched another FIFA game, and it's been like just kind of like. You know, the microtransaction things, the Ultimate Team stuff has kind of always been, like, questionable in the air. Like, in terms of sport games, I don't know. Like, I'd probably get more fun out of an NFL game than I would a FIFA game at this rate. So, it's kind of just like, if you're going to play a sports game, I don't know, something like, you know, maybe like NFL or not a racing game, if they consider that kind of, you know, a sports game. But, I don't know. I think there's other options other than FIFA. That's, I don't know, Mike, what are you thinking? Do you think it's a total waste of time?
Yeah, it's a waste of time. FIFA is the same game it's always been. If you played it once, which you probably have in the last 10 years, it's the same version every single time. It's a new, like, new characters, well, new players, new actual personalities in it. But the attributes change. Like, sometimes, dude, it's EA, man. I can't put EA really high up there sometimes. It's like, it's money grab half the time, you know? Mm-hmm. It's tough. So I'm in the don't waste your time category. If you've always played FIFA, maybe you're a streamer, you're a content creator, or you're not that big into video games. I know plenty of people who don't like video games and they play FIFA, Madden, 2K. Like, that's their thing. And I get that. That's cool. But the game's trash. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm right there with you, man. I'll be honest. Right there with you, dude. Yeah. It's
all right, well, let's...
fortunate.
Let's pick up the pace a little bit. How about Final Fantasy?
Final Fantasy? I want to play the remake. 7 remake. I want to play it. Haven't played
Rebirth?
It yet. Well, that and Rebirth. I want to eventually get to those. I will say, though, JRPGs, never been something I played. Like, I think the newer games are probably, you know, more tailored to a style I'd play. I mean, I don't know. I never played the original Final Fantasy 7 or 6 or any of that. So it's hard for me to really rate this one, in all honesty. I think it's definitely not a waste of time from what I've seen and heard from other people. So, I mean, you know, content podcast approved could probably be where I'd put it, but that's solely because I just really haven't put many hours into the Final Fantasy games. So I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I think it's got to be podcast approved, man. It's just... Okay. There's so many different games. It's so well known. Sometimes, like, I know plenty of people that love video games specifically because of Final Fantasy.
That's
fair. It's got to be podcast approved.
Fair point. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll lean on that in this case because obviously, like, I haven't played them, so they're not, like, huge on my radar. But yeah, it's, they're undeniably huge, right? So it's, you know, can't fight against that. So, oh, dude, God of War.
Oh, just go ahead and put in podcast approved.
God of War, Mike.
It's not even worth talking about. You and I both know.
God of War, dude. I have to, dude. I mean, GTA, Mike? Like, what are we talking about here, dude? What are we talking about
GTA,
here?
GTA, easy, podcast approved.
What are we talking about here, dude? Easy.
All right, what? Gran Turismo. Okay, this one's interesting. It goes into that decent category.
Yeah.
I think. I would put it, I think it should go right next to Doom.
Okay.
Kind of podcast approved. Okay. If you're
like Doom.
Oh, not Doom. Sorry. Diablo is what I meant.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I could agree with that. It's a racing game.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
That's why I would say kind of approved.
Yeah.
It's really good. What else is here? Halo?
Oh, Mike.
Dude.
You know, new for this one, dude. This is the thing. So what we see in this is 1 through 4, right? Should we just kind of lean on the originals? Do we not think about Infinite and just pretend that never happened and just focus on 1 through 4? How do we do this?
Well, I think that's that's just like the MCC box art. I mean, Halo 2, I consider one of the greatest games of all time.
Yep.
Halo 3 is the more complete game, but Halo 2 is probably the greatest console shooter of all time.
Bold statement. Yeah, you got. Like, let's go.
It's real though. I mean, you can't really argue with it. Just the records they broke, the storytelling, that it was phenomenal. Yeah. And they all did it in a really short amount of time. Yeah, I think that one's got to go at podcast approved.
I think so too.
There's just no way. No way. Yeah. Like,
it's iconic,
the more recent titles are his. Like the character's more famous than the game now.
Literally, it's, yeah.
If when you're at that level, you got to go up to podcast approved.
Yep.
So what's the next one here? Is that
Zelda? Just any Legend of Zelda? Just
Zelda in general?
Yeah.
Just, oh yeah. Okay. Zelda series yeah.
In general. I mean, come on.
Podcast approved. There's no way I'm come putting on, that anything below.
Yeah. It's undeniable. Mario Kart? I guess it's just Mario Kart in general. I mean,
Mario Kart's podcast approved easily.
Oh yeah, easily. Anyone can sit down, enjoy it, have a good time. It's a game for everyone, dude. There's no way you put that in any other tier.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, dude. This is interesting. For me,
that's good, man.
For me, I put it here. It's not a waste of time. I don't think it's complete trash. But I think for me, it's just like, you know, it's a decent beat 'em up. It's, you know, a decent fighting game. I don't think it's like, obviously, are there better fighting games? Sure. But I think it's still a solid fighting game for the most part. And a lot of people.
Yeah, and they're doing better with their story in the most recent game. I think, yeah, I'm on board. Pac-Man, podcast approved. There's no way you can put Pac-Man.
I don't know, below. Man. I mean, there's just so much to offer nowadays. Like, you can put it here. I mean, there's just so much better options, dude. Pac-Man's great. And don't get me wrong, there's a legacy there. But it's just like, you know, you're sitting down playing
We're
games,
talking
dude.
About video
how many people
games.
Are gonna,
series,
if,
though.
If you're going to pick, how many people are going to pick this over Legend of Zelda, over Mario, over Halo, over like any of these games, dude? Like, I look, don't get me wrong. Pac-Man, sure, it's one of the OGs, right? It's one of the GOATs. But like, I don't know, dude. It's hard for me. I mean, we could put it in podcast proof, but it's almost hard for me to, because just based on legacy, it's like, or just based on age, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's right. A lot of people that would probably like roast me for putting that in. Don't waste your time. But I don't know, Mike. What do you think?
All right.
You want to compromise?
You're kind of talking me into it.
What do?
It's one of those ones where it's just like, it's so classic, man.
It is, dude. It is.
I bet you put Solitaire in like waste your time too.
100%.
Minesweeper.
Minesweeper or not? Minesweeper would go up. But dude. Solitaire? Spider right. Solitaire? Cool. Probably go up. Solitaire for me.
Yeah. All right. Alrighty. Dude. So Pokemon. Where are you at?
I mean, the legendary game, they're so just iconic, right? It's a series that is
they are.
Withstood the test of time. I'll give it the newer games, you know, it's just especially on release, terrible. Not gonna lie, they're just not made well.
Yeah.
It's like there's a lot left to be desired. I mean, I don't know. I would say podcast approved just because it's Pokemon, man. It's
that's
a household name at this point. Like, can't I don't
Pokemon
know, can't...
Go, Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Snap.
Yep. Kind of newer ones, right?
And then card trading game, just in general.
You have Diamond, yeah, Pearl, Fire Red.
TV show, movies, like, yeah. It's got to go up there, dude. It's got to go up there.
Oh, the Red Dead What's Redemption games. Oh. Red Dead Redemptions, dude. Come on.
You already know. Podcast approved.
Podcast approved without
a doubt.
Get
that out of the way quick.
Come on, dude. Western game that's solid, dude. Come on.
Skyrim podcast approved.
Elder Scrolls so far, great games. And they're undeniable, right? We'll see if six changes that, but so far we're rolling pretty hot. So then again, game also came out, 13 years ago? So it seems to keep that in mind too. Spider-Man games. For me, if we're talking like the recent Spider-Man games, podcast approved, dude. That's just me. I mean,
even the old ones were good on the PS2 and 3.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, yeah, I remember playing 2. I think 2 on GameCube. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Games, man. First time you get to like swing around Manhattan, it was awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah, definitely podcast proof for
me. Doc Ock.
I don't know. Yeah, and the newer games.
Yeah,
take it above and beyond. Solid stories, everything.
Yeah.
Super Mario Bros.
Super Mario Bros. Yeah, just move it. Super Mario Bros. Goes in podcast approved.
Super Mario Bros. In general, just all around.
Yeah.
Solid series. 30, 40 years old. Come on.
That's a fact.
Super Smash Bros. One of the few fighting games I will still actively play and still be like, yeah,
I
let's
still,
do it.
I got the
Super Smash.
I play N64 Super Smash whenever I meet up with my old friends. We get together in the living room. A couple of brewskis this time around instead of being like 10 years old playing.
Yeah, dude. For sure, for sure.
What's the next one there? Is that
Street Fighter?
Tekken?
Tekken? Oh, it might be Tekken. Actually, you might be right. I think you're right. I think it's Tekken.
Is it Tekken?
It looks like
Tekken. It is Tekken.
Tekken? Yeah.
Ooh, Tekken.
Tekken. Mm. It's an interesting one.
I think Mortal Kombat's better than Tekken. I said it.
I do too, I man. I'm not going to lie, dude. I'm not going to lie, bro. It's looking like a don't waste your time for me, man.
Don't waste your time?
I don't know, dude. Look, see, now we'll say, we can compromise on this, because if this was my list, I've never played Tekken, was never interested. Don't waste your time. I'm just like, that's kind of my thing on it. But I'm not huge on fighting games, though. Mortal Kombat's the only one I actually like played and really enjoyed in the fighting genre, aside from Super Smash, obviously.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like if I think Mortal Kombat is the better gaming experience for like people, right? It has a little bit more. I don't know, like a little more fantasy in it, perhaps, than Tekken does.
No,
and I don't know, man. But I feel like if Tekken has the better competitive scene.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you that.
Mortal Kombat's a more casual.
It's true.
It's kind of hard to say. It's like if you in terms of like competitiveness, Tekken by far you should go that way.
Yeah.
But in terms of like just playing the game to play the game, you gotta go Mortal Kombat. But I can't put them on the same level.
You make a solid That's point though. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think it's a don't waste your time.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Unfortunately,
if you're thinking that too,
and I don't feel necessarily good about it.
Well, this is the thing. Like, there's better fighting games to play in our opinion, right? Like whether it's Smash Bros. Yeah. Or you know, I it's justifiable in our use case and our kind of rankings. I think it makes sense.
Yeah. Just me. It's going to upset people.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Uncharted. Come on. I know, Mike, I don't even know if you played the games, but I'll just tell you right now.
I never even played it. I just know everybody's obsessed with it.
Yeah. Amazing stories. It's Naughty Dog. Can't beat it. Linear storytelling games. I mean, they're just good. Uncharted 4 especially is a masterpiece on the PlayStation 4. So, I mean, for me, that is like... I will podcast to prove it for both of us on RVFs. Witcher series. I don't know, dude. Yeah. I haven't played it much, but everybody that I know that has played it, it's like, this is an RPG that you can't skip on.
It's really good.
It's on my list, and Witcher 3 is arguably the best game of the last decade, so, hey. You know, or at least I should say the best game of the 2010s. That probably makes more sense.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Oh, Need for Speed,
Need for Speed. I love Need for Speed games, too, dude. I absolutely do, but I think you need to put that in Don't Waste Your Time.
Oh.
I think you do, man. It's I gotta be real. I love them, but they're trash. They're trash games. There's maybe like four games that are phenomenal for Need for Speed, but the rest is mostly trash.
Was Burnout a Need for Speed game? Or was that not a Need for Speed game? That was its own thing?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was its own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Hot Pursuit wasn't bad. It was not a Need for Speed game. I'd like trying to think of other games.
Hot Pursuit wasn't too bad. I didn't really like it. There was an open world game on the PC that I played a lot. It was okay. There's just so many better racing games, you know, and there's no way I could put it on the same tier as Gran Turismo.
See, for me, I just never really played Gran Turismo. So like for me, it's like Need for Speed would go above it, but that's just me. Like, cause I played more Need for Speed than Gran Turismo, right? Maybe I'm way off.
Don't
and
worry,
I'm not a huge on racing game. So, you know,
you're way off. You're way off, but it's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm here to save you.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Don't play Need for Speed, guys. Peter Berger to you.
Nope. No shot. Five Nights at Freddy's, I've never played.
Five Nights at Freddy's? Oh. So, honestly, I'm willing to put this in kind of podcast approved just because the lore that's behind it is out of this world. It's like the amount of people, the amount of stories people made for this game, and like just like how many there have been in the series, how many people have loved them, and it's kind of just like cheap scare horror, right? Like just get on for a cheap scare. And there's like the night seven people thing try to do where they try to last like the extra night. It's like a huge challenge and it's extremely difficult. There's almost like a skill level to this game, and like you can really master it, and so you can spend a lot of time on it and really get good at it. It's kind of surprising how like, you know, how involved people get with this game. So for me, it's like one of those things. I partially put it in kind of podcast approved because it is a horror game. It's cheap scares. Not a lot of people are going to like the jump scare kind of like horror stuff. So, you know, it's not something I would recommend everyone play. But hey, man, if you want a challenging horror game that has a decent, a decent gameplay loop and can keep you entertained, it's definitely up there. I would say it's definitely one that it's not a waste of time. So I'd put it in kind of approved.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm on board with that. Your favorite IP probably is Fallout.
Fallout.
Are you going to do what I did with Halo? Lean on the old IPs, the old titles?
Because the reason why it's frustrating. Single A game.
That's crazy.
I mean, up until now, man, it's obviously podcast approved. I think if anyone's looking for an RPG, it's easy to get into, especially like 3, New Vegas, 4, kind of those games. They're not obviously the best RPGs ever. There's a lot lacking, especially in 4, just from like a storytelling standpoint, and it's not super in depth. I think a lot of the gameplay loop in general though is pretty good, and like the side quests is where that game really shines. So, but I mean, I think if you just want an RPG, like kind of a watered down RPG that isn't like fantasy or anything like that, Fallout's this game to check out. I think it's the series to check out, and I think a lot of people can get into that that maybe wouldn't play RPGs otherwise. It's a good like kind of gateway drug to that, so to speak. So yeah, it's definitely podcast proof for me. Yeah.
I think that's fair. All right. Then you got Street Fighter.
This is Street Fighter, okay.
Yeah. You didn't recognize the art.
Yeah, no, I recognize a couple of these characters.
Yeah, I think Street Fighter, I think Tekken is better than Street Fighter.
Ooh.
But I don't think it's a single A game. Mm. I don't.
So like Tekken.
So I think it's gotta go on.
It goes right behind Tekken, okay.
Yeah, I think Tekken definitely clears it. Street Fighter's got some misses though.
Yeah, sure. Street Fighter 6, I'm pretty sure it was good, right? I don't keep up close to Street Fighter, so.
Street Fighter 6 was good.
I feel like people praised it, but yeah. I mean, hey, it's our list, Mike, you know? That's all I'm saying. It's our list, you know?
That's a fact.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't waste my time with it. That's just me. Not into those games.
Yeah. That's where I'm at too. Let's see. The next one here is Injustice. Have you ever played an Injustice game?
Injustice Gods Among Us. Yeah, dude. Injustice. Yeah,
there's Injustice 2 as well.
Yeah. I heard people like the Injustice games. People, some of my friends like were really into them, but I mean, I never played them, so it's kind of just.
I think it's a don't waste your time kind of game. It's just
Imagine I'm just kidding.
I would be surprised if there's a lot of people that think it's just trash.
Yeah,
it's not for me. I've never played. Let's do this. Injustice ratings. Oh, this is the we gotta do video game. 8.2 out of 10 is one of them.
Not too bad.
I mean, it came out in 2013. Wasn't superseded by Injustice 2. And I don't know, man. I think it's like a don't waste your time kind of game.
I agree. Sonic the Hedgehog, Mike. Hedgehog. But he's giving me this.
Don't waste your time, man.
Oh, he's giving
don't me waste your time.
Okay.
Where are you at? You were thinking single A games?
No, I was thinking that I don't know. The Sonic, I mean, I've played like the first Sonic game, and like there's a Sonic open world game that came out. I heard it was okay. It wasn't like me. It's kind of just forgettable. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could agree with that, I think, overall. I was gonna originally think like kind of podcast approved, but I mean, you know, the Sonic games also like I just wouldn't recommend them. So I mean that's enough for me. It's just like waste your time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia in it. There was one or two titles that I can think of off the top of my head that I'd be like, you should absolutely play this game. Like the one, I have it over here somewhere. It's when you can have the chow garden and you can like have your little chows and like basically give them a whole bunch of different coins and like Steph Betty, like all these different things to hatch an egg. And then you end up raising a chow that's either like an angel chow or a demon chow or a different chow. So like that game was really fun.
Adventure 2 Battle.
Really popular in the game. Yeah, that's what it was. But
that was a solid game.
I,
man. There'd be people. Yeah, I know. I probably have some friends that'd be like, "Why are you putting it there?" But it's kind of just like, yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's not my thing.
I don't think it's a don't waste your time. Let's get into the next one here. Dark Souls. That's a Dark Souls. I mean, I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad either.
It's not a don't waste your time.
No.
It's a very challenging game, though. Like, they're very challenging games. So
that's what I think, too. I think it's kind of approved.
Yeah. Put it kind of to the top of the kind of approved. I think it's, yeah, like, yeah. I wouldn't recommend it to everyone, obviously. It's a very challenging game.
Yeah, I think.
If you're into dying a lot, you'll like it.
It seems to me that our kind of approved right now has been more about, like, a niche.
Yeah, like, it is kind of niche, like, right? That's true, yeah. Like, these are definitely...
It's a particular audience. Yeah.
Definitely.
So, what do we got? The Last of Us?
Last of Us?
If we're putting God of War in the podcast approved, we gotta put The Last of Us in podcast approved.
Dude, I can vouch for Last of Us. I know so many people that did not like Last of Us 2. And they were just like, I don't like the story, I don't like all this. It was the swan song of the PS4. It looks so good on that console, and then they released it on the 5. I think the story is still really good. The first one is so good. It's just like like the pinnacle of video game storytelling for me.
I agree,
especially
with
the first game. Yeah. So yeah, I'd approve. I'd recommend anyone to play this game. Both of them.
Yeah,
they're just good.
The next one is Lego.
Lego games.
I gotta put it in kind of, dude. I think it goes into that niche category.
It is, yeah.
It offers something for everybody, but if you're a little bit older and you want something a little bit like more mature, that's not really your type of game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's still, I think, you know, it's one of those fun for the family games for sure, right? Like,
exactly.
Just, you know, you want to have something to play and the Harry Potter, like, you know, the Batman, stuff like that, but you want something more kid friendly, it's the option. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Still very well made.
Agreed. Right, what is this next one?
Star Wars Battlefront?
Battlefront?
Let me think about it.
The Battlefront series. So we're talking about... Okay, so Battlefront 1 and 2 Classic are really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
I love them.
Yep.
The remakes. Tough launches.
Yeah, tough for sure. Yeah, it's definitely the launches, right? Like,
launches. Yeah, and now if you want to get on and play it, it's riddled with hackers and cheaters. And there's this... Dude, this Battlefront community, man. In Battlefront 2, they have heroes versus villains where you can do 2v2 matchups or 1v1s and stuff. Well, you can't do 1v1s. It's just 2v2 matchups. And the fan base, for whatever reason, always wants to do 1v1s. They're just like, oh, let's do a 1v1. So when you're doing 2v2s or like 4v4s, like people separate to like battle each other. And I'm like, why? Let's just play the game kind of thing. Yeah. It's a weird community. There's a lot of hackers. It's just, I don't know, man. I think it's in the don't waste your time category. And I say that as somebody who absolutely loves the original games. And I, like, during the shutdown of 2020, 2021, I was playing Battlefront 2 all the time. I just, if FIFA's in the don't waste your time category, Battlefront's in don't waste your time either.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be one of those cases where it was really good at one point, but now it's just like the unfortunate demise. I wouldn't recommend to play them nowadays, but that's just me. I mean, there's a lot of fond memories. I enjoy Battlefront 2 a lot. Loved that game, but yeah, dude, I could agree with that. I wouldn't waste your time, you know. It's unfortunate.
You stepped on my dog's head, my bad. Okay, speaking of dogs, Watch Dogs.
We don't have a single leg game, like. I'm just saying, dude.
I don't think it's a good game.
I don't think it is either. Dude, it was just so bad when it came out, right? Because, like, I will never forget how the E3 preview looked so different from the game on launch. It was just so, like, it was night and day different in the worst way possible. Like, it was just, everyone was promised this, like, really aesthetically pleasing, good-looking game. Then it comes out, and it's just, like, it's like a wet napkin. It's just, it's terrible, dude.
It's not good.
I wouldn't recommend anyone play these games ever. It's just like, I mean, I think I tried to play the first one once and I was like bored 20 minutes in. I was like, I can't get invested. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. Honestly, yeah, if these are, don't waste your time. I'd rather recommend FIFA than Watch Dogs, that's for sure. You go play a fighting game rather than play this. That's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, that pretty much the entire category of don't waste your time, I would say play that before playing Watch Dogs.
Yep. I would agree.
Yep.
Totally.
Yeah. And I feel the same way about the next game, which is Crash Bandicoot.
Mm. You're saying a single A? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying I would choose that over Watch Dogs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I would choose Crash over Watch Dogs, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the Insane Trilogy, I think, are good remakes, too, especially, like, the newer games, or, you know, the newer remakes of them. I don't know, I would personally put it in kind of podcast approved. I mean, I think they're, like, you know, solid games. Granted, they are older, but since the remakes, and I think they're really solid, so, I don't know. If you want to go check them out.
Oh, okay.
I'd play them over.
I mean, you got Pac-Man in that category, too, so I'm on board. I'm on board with that.
Okay.
I would put them around the same level.
The Pac-Man take went crazy, you know?
you're nuts. It's like, you're crazy, but whatever. All right. Team effort here.
There's only one thing left.
From the top list.
There's one thing left, dude. Got to pick our top game out of all this.
What are your top three?
Yeah, so let's see. So
and I'll tell you what my top three are.
Let's recap. So in the podcast approved, in the A list, what are we going to move to S tier? We have Assassin's Creed, Batman series, GTA, Call of Duty series, Doom series, Final Fantasy series, God of War series, Halo, Legend of Zelda, Mario Kart, Pokemon, Red Dead Redemption, Skyrim, Elder Scrolls, Spider-Man, you have Super Mario Bros., Super Smash Bros., Uncharted, Witcher, Fallout, and Last of Us. Those are our kind of big games. Oh man, what are my top three, Mike? For me, I think, especially as I played some of the older games, still, I like GTA. I think that's going to be my top three. This is so difficult. Obviously, Fallout's going to be my top three. That's just me. Like, we can decide on all these. I would put, it's like GTA, Fallout. Oh, man. This third one's going to be so tough for me. It's like, it sounds crazy. I almost want to put COD, but like, I would not put in Legendary. Like, that's why it's like, no. I don't want to pick it because I know I wouldn't put in Legendary.
You'll get destroyed by like any.
No, I
can't let you do that.
Like out of all of these, I don't know, probably Uncharted maybe. Like the GTA, Fallout, and Uncharted. Those are kind of like my, I think, top three out of all these though. I mean, I'm curious to hear what you think though, Mike. What are your top three? Here?
All right, let me go through the basis of where I'm at with deciding this. Okay. The first one is it's got to be a game that offers multiple avenues of entertainment for different types of people.
Okay. Ooh, so, he's going the people's game here. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the people's game. So Fallout, you need to be a specific type of person to play that game all the way through.
It is niche. Or the entire series. Niche, I'll give you that.
The same thing with Uncharted. They're in the same category, and I understand why you would pick it because I know your style of games.
It's the podcast list, right? It's not my list. Yes. So. Yeah.
So I agree with that. I will build the bridge. I got to put Zelda in my top three.
Okay.
I got to do that.
That's good. That's good.
I also think here's where, like you said, it gets tough. I think Grand Theft Auto is also really far up there.
Okay.
Just with how much stuff you can do and the online community, the role playing, like it's an overall game that's just phenomenal, right?
Yep.
The new one looks amazing as well. But I think what clears both of them.
Clears
why I think it should.
Oh, man.
Super Mario.
Oh.
Hear me out.
Ooh.
Hear me out, dude.
Okay.
You got everything you could possibly want in that video game series. It's an iconic face for an entire franchise. The Nintendo brand is basically a Mario brand. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So it's true. You got it's true. Like underrated games, Super Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy is a phenomenal game.
Oh yeah, like, 1 and 2. Yep.
Mario, Super Mario 1 and 2. Like you just said, 2 and 3. Like
I think,
good, man.
Yeah,
Super Mario World. Bro,
the most relevant point I think out of all of this too is that Super Mario, any game in that series can be played by anyone, and anyone can have a good time. Like, any age, gender, you know, identification, like, whatever. Like,
it doesn't matter.
It's just everyone can find enjoyment out of it. You're selling me, Mike.
The number one sell, though, is out of all of these games, I guarantee there's anybody that's watching this has played Mario before. If you haven't played Mario before, you're not a gamer. I'm sorry. That's just weird, man.
So true.
It's really weird not to play a Mario game. Maybe it's like because I'm an old head, perhaps. Maybe there's a lot of people that all they've ever owned was like PlayStation. They've never owned a Nintendo in their life. I'm sorry, you're 15 years old. Grow up. Get a Super Mario. Like, Game Boy. Like, just play Mario. What's the problem here? It's a great game. So to me, that's legendary. I think that clears everything on the board because you can have so many different options. And we're probably not even listing all the phenomenal Super Mario games.
Oh, yeah. Probably not.
We got 3D. That could be good. Super Mario 3. Yeah. There's a whole like world of platform games that's been going on forever. Yeah. You know?
It's true. They were the start of the platformer, Mike. I know earlier I was talking about not ranking Pac-Man high just because, like, you know, it's one of those things, like, it's because of how old the game is. It's one of the OG games. But, like, Mario is definitely better than Pac-Man, though, in my opinion, because, like, it's withstood the test of time. There's many different iterations. It's one of the oldest IPs ever. Like, Mike, you're selling me, dude. I think you're selling me.
I think that's Mario, where it's got to go. Dude.
Yeah.
I think one, like, kind of an underrated part of Super Mario is Super Mario Maker, where you get to create your own levels as well.
Yeah, that's like a whole like creation phenomenal kit. It's wild.
Yeah. But I think that's why it's got to be my legendary status. Yeah. Each one of the games offers something unique. It could be for anybody to play, like you just said. But if we're going with like AAA titles, which you can kind of like lean into, I think Grand Theft Auto, Zelda is a close, like they're right behind it as well.
Nope. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah. Nah, dude. I agree with Super Mario Bros. I couldn't agree more. Especially as a podcast list, I think it's a good cap to it because, you know, just from a user standpoint, and people that play it can enjoy it. And yeah, it's undeniable, dude. And it's not slowing down.
I think we got a fair list. You should publish this. Like, do you have an account on Tier List Maker?
I do. Yeah, I do.
So my account. Yeah, you do. So you can publish that list, and we'll link it in the description so people can check it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I already know. Yeah, we'll leave a link, and we may even tweet it out, dude. Just saying, follow Twitter.
I think we tweeted out, but I think I want to go ahead and wrap this up because I don't know if you're skipping around.
Yeah,
our audio is good. Our audio is good.
Sounds great, but yeah, the videos.
Yeah, that's on my end. We have a big storm coming through. I did a speed test while in between of like messing with the Tier List Maker, and my internet's cooked right now. I think everybody's home streaming. So let's wrap this up. We've been recording for a better part of an hour and a half.
Yep.
I enjoyed the tier list. We need to start doing these a little bit more often.
Yeah, dude. No, I enjoyed it too. And can't wait to publish it. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Solid. I think it's a good podcast list. Represents us. So.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, let's go ahead and hurry up quick, end this before it starts lagging again, which it's doing right now. I'm just going to keep moving like this, and hopefully it looks as ridiculous as I think it does. Yeah, okay. So I'll talk to you guys later. If you guys want to see any of the articles that we've covered in this week's episode, the links are in the description below. We try to call off every single one of the writers, publishers, everything for that. So definitely go give some love and support to them. And we do appreciate you for checking us out. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for liking. Thank you for commenting. All the love. We appreciate it. Links are in the description, like I just said. Socials as well. Come join. Come talk. Tell us what's going on. And do you want to add anything, Kyle? Or did I cover it all?
I think you covered it all, dude. We got to get him out of here, dude. It was a long episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long one. Let me go hang out with my dog. He's awake now. So catch you guys later. I'm Michael Anthony. My other co-host right here is Kyle Heath. And we'll catch you in the next one. Peace out.
Keep getting
See you next week's episode.
Bye.
Keep on.
Warriors best.